It's All Things Considered on WUOT. I'm Brandon Hollingsworth. What is sin? And what's the punishment for it? And who gets to decide? Historian of religion Paula Fredrickson studied some of the earliest writings of Western religion to find out. And her new book, Sin, The Early History of an Idea, explores the first 400 years of sin as a concept of theology. Earlier today, in advance of her appearance at the David Dungan Memorial Lecture at the University of Tennessee, Fredrickson talked to me about sin, its origins, and its evolution. You know, I grew up in Alabama under the Baptist tradition, the good old Southern Baptist tradition, and my grandparents, I recall, talked about sin with a capital S. It was a big, huge deal for them. But I've noticed my parents talk about it less, and people in my generation, the so-called millennials, talk about it even less. It seems like sin as a concept is occupying a smaller and smaller slice of our daily lives. Is that my imagination, or is this a lesser concept in the 21st century?
I think partly the importance of the idea of sin depends on the company you keep and the community you're in. It's true, and if we look at, I think, popular media, the pronouncements of politicians after something has occurred with them, that we tend toward the language of mistakes, which is a way to seem as if you're taking responsibility, but not wanting any blame or any guilt. Because, after all, everybody makes mistakes. But sin, classically, has to do with an idea of intentionally going against something that, again, in Western monotheist traditions, going against something that's an explicit teaching of God. So, for example, not murdering is not just a crime, it's also a sin. Whereas there are other things that are also explicit teachings of God in the Western Bible that nobody except people in very few specific communities would consider a sin. For example, being forbidden to mix wool and flax, something that not many people are worried about, but there are some communities that are. That would be a sin for those communities that do worry about it, because wearing flannel would go against an explicit biblical command.
Now, this leads us right into the next point, which is that your book does not really try to actively advocate for a definition of sin. Instead, it explores the various teachings and philosophies of sin as articulated by early Christians. Why did you resist trying to create a definition for it?
One of the ideas that emerged very clearly as I was doing my research is that there is not a stable definition of sin. It changes according to the person who is talking or whose teachings we have recorded, even if they didn't write them themselves, people like Jesus. We have Paul's letters. Augustine certainly was one of the impresarios of the modern idea of sin. Original sin is, in a lot of ways, his construction. But Christians, even in the first four centuries, did not have a single definition of sin. It's a plastic concept. And what surprised me about it is that as I looked at the way different thinkers would teach about sin, sin was actually a subset of a much more important idea. The ideas of sin usually turned out to be a sideways enunciation of ideas about God.
I was intrigued to learn that even the cornerstone philosophers of Christian theology were in strong disagreement about, as you said, the definition of sin, but also its implications. Could you walk us through a few of those significant debates that are covered in the book?
One of the most significant debates is the question of how free human will is. If you think that human will is compromised, that we are subject to passions that we can't really control, and therefore our will doesn't actually, we're not agents in a fully free sense, then how responsible are we for when we do something wrong? If we cannot be fully responsible, then how just is God in punishing sinners? So it's again, this idea of sin, which partly calls into being an idea of humanity. Does the human being have free will? It always goes back to God, because the question of free will and free will in sinning has to do with God's justice. And if you think that God might not be just, it becomes a very scary universe.
I would think that writing a book about a concept is very different than writing about a person or a building or an event, because you can't just sit down and interview a concept. you know, what research methods did you use to, let us say, interrogate a concept from almost 2 millennia ago?
My book on sin, the early history of an idea, can sound abstract because ideas are abstractions, but I'm an historian, not a philosopher, although I'm an historian of philosophies. But that means that to understand an idea, you have to get a reconstruction of the person who thinks the idea. And that meant that this review of the idea of sin became sort of thumbnail biographies of important Christian thinkers, Jesus, Paul, various people in the second century, Gnostics and Justin Martyr, and then my two favorites, who are these two huge geniuses in the tradition, Origen and Augustine, meant that I was really doing biographies of them, and in order to situate their ideas in their own lives, because ultimately the ideas are a refraction and a reflection of their own personal experience, including their education, how they read the Bible, and how they live their lives in what historical circumstances.
So the takeaway from this that I'm getting is that sin, like many things, like many human concepts, varies by time, by place, and by culture. Now here we are in the early part of the 21st century, and it's still a debate that I'm sure is happening in theological circles all over the world and in many different religions. What is sin? How do we address it? What are its punishments? What do you think about, if we may say, the state of sin in the early 21st century? How have those debates evolved?
Well, I'm tempted to answer your question. I think sin's doing very well. Thank you. It's in a very healthy state. I think, again, it depends on the issue. And it depends on where, just thinking in terms of America, what region in the country there's a question about. In this last national election that we've all just weathered, a lot of the questions about access to contraception really go back to debates that emerge in this ancient period about what the definition of a person is and how sexuality figures into those definitions of persons. And if God creates people and says, be fruitful and multiply, and seems to be interested in human companionship, how is that to be regulated? What is the role of sexuality in being human? And what did God have in mind by creating us gendered people? All of these issues that emerge in these first four centuries are things that I heard echoed in the debates that we were having as a nation in terms of federal spending and public policy.
Paula Fredrickson is the author of Sin, The Early History of an Idea. She's a researcher of the history of religion and is this year's speaker at the David L. Dungan Memorial Lecture at the University of Tennessee. Professor Fredrickson, thank you for being with us on All Things Considered.
Thank you very much.